right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we are talking about Ricky Stenicki, a movie I wasn't even planning on watching until we saw John Cena doing his thing on the Oscars a couple weeks back. And I was like, maybe I'll give this movie a try. And I loved it. It is so stupid, but so much fun. And I had a great time talking about it with my guest, returning to the podcast, Manish from It Pod to Be You. We have a great conversation, lots of great puzzle pieces to get into. And that is coming up in a second. Before we get to it, though, I do want to remind you, as always, to make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together, wherever it is that you're listening to this podcast right now. You could also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And also, don't forget, we do have a Patreon. I just recently recorded a whole bunch of episodes in a row, and those episodes are going to live on the Patreon until they have their regular releases on the main feed, which will happen at various dates. You know, I can only release so many episodes per week, so they'll get out eventually when it makes sense to release them. But for now, you can check them out early over on Patreon, along with a bunch of other great content, including bonus episodes of Awesome Movie Year, the other movie podcast I produce, and bonus stuff from my music career. So check it out. It's patreon.com/bydavidrosen if you want to support the show that way. But also just keep on listening, keep on sharing the show, keep on sending in your puzzle pieces, and I appreciate you being out there. With that said, let's talk about Ricky Stenicki. All right, Manish from It Pod to Be You is back with us. We're going to talk about Ricky Stenicki. Manish, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. I am. I'm recording a whole bunch of episodes this week, but I couldn't skip Ricky Stenicki because, God, this movie is so stupid. But I had so much fun with it. I'm so excited to talk about it. I want to start off, first of all, what was your initial thought when you, like, saw the name, like, oh, Peter Farrelly is back after doing these, you know, Oscar-y, quote-unquote, movies to stupid comedies and, you know, with this cast, and it's called Ricky Stenicki. What were you expecting out of this movie?
I was expecting kind of like a, throwback to, like, 90s, 2000s. You know, even 2010s comedies, you know, like something along the lines of like what Seth Rogen and his, you know, group would do together. I didn't really know. I hadn't really heard of this movie. It was one of those movies where like, I was like, oh yeah, like I'm hearing like, oh yeah, like there's this movie with Zac Efron and John Cena. I'm like, great. Can't wait to watch it next year. And then like, I'm finding, oh no, it's actually on Amazon Prime right now. And it's like, I feel like so, like in this like post like pandemic, like movies are just like being made and I have no idea they're happening.
Yeah.
And then like all of a sudden there's a like I don't even know if I watch trailers anymore unless I'm in a movie theater.
Sure, sure.
So I'm like, wait, like where did this come from? Like who, like when did they write this? When did they edit this?
You know? Yeah. I didn't even know for sure if it was real or if it was a Super Bowl thing when I first heard about
it. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I mean like
the timing
nowadays,
lined
that's
up.
Like the that's like the thing nowadays where like there's, you know, Super Bowl commercials are like being advertised like movies and like getting like name brand talent and stuff. So yeah, it was definitely a surprise. I think I first heard about it because someone was like, there are just so many dick jokes in this movie. And I was like, well, we were doing like dick jokes in 2024. Like that's like wild to me, you know, not in a bad way, but just like, I like couldn't believe that like something like this could be made these days.
Absolutely. And I think that's another thing we should briefly mention before we start getting into puzzle pieces for Ricky Stenicki. And hopefully, we don't step on any pieces here because I know I might have one of these coming up. But last year we did have No Hard Feelings, Cocaine Bear, Joyride, and Bottoms. So like we are kind of in a resurgence of this stuff. And we've been seeing them in theaters again, which is crazy because you're right. Like this is the kind of movie that just gets dumped onto streaming. And then, you know, we find out about it at some point. That is what they did with this one, but this could have followed that lead of those other movies.
Yeah. You know, something's been in the air for the last like 2 years where maybe it's just like, the pandemic slump of like no one's really working anymore is kind of now like over where like I'm feeling a very strong sense of like movies are back.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And like, I know that's become such a cliche of like saying like we're so back and whatever, but like, I just been feeling that like there's definitely like a hunger from audiences and from filmmakers to like make movies that are not just, you know, like I don't like to be the guy that's like, you know, there's just so many like superhero movies out there. Like every movie has to be like $200 million,
sure,
like 3
sure.
hours long. Like, I don't agree that that's all that we're getting, but like they're definitely, it feels like movies like this are now taking over like the discussion and are like actually becoming like appreciated. Whereas like even like, I would say even like directly right after kind of the quarantine lockdown, where it was just seems like we're just getting all these like superhero shows on like Disney Plus and in movie theaters that like no one's really asking for.
Sure.
And but now it feels like, yeah, well, there's actually demand for these kinds of movies. And I think that like, you know, like I think like No Hard Feelings, as you mentioned, like definitely was one that I was like, yeah, like we can definitely, there's definitely appetite for this.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have to assume that this movie, like, I know you gave it 3 stars on Letterboxd. I gave it 4 just because I laughed so much at it. But yeah. I have to assume even somebody who like gave it 2 stars, like probably would have been laughing along with everyone else in the theater if this had been released theatrically.
I think one of the reasons why I kind of ranked it a little lower is that I was thinking after when I was kind of thinking about the movie being like, if I had seen this in the theater, I would have been laughing my head off, like,
yeah,
because of that energy. And like watching it at home when I'm like, you know, getting like food delivery and like I have to like turn my dishwasher on, and it's like, it's hard to like get in that headspace. And like,
sure.
Especially for a comedy where it's like easy just to like, you know, like, like everyone else's brain, like my brain can just easily kind of like,
we're all the same,
wander
way.
Off.
Yeah.
Yeah, like wander off and then be like, wait, I think, did I just miss a joke and stuff? So
did someone say something about
a dick?
I think
I wish I had seen this in the theater. Yeah.
Well, let's start getting into some puzzle pieces. What do you have for your first piece?
Well, you know, it's funny, like Zac Efron is actually, I mean, he's actually older than I am, but I feel like it's always jarring for me to see him as an adult, like with a job and like with a long-term relationship, because I just still like associate him with like, yeah, like, you know, High School Musical, like I watched that as a kid and stuff. And but the first thing that I thought, it was sort of the first time that I was like, oh wow, this kid is actually really good. I mean, I'm calling him a kid, but like I was like, oh wow, like he actually like can like maintain his star power and then become really powerful like comedic actor. And that's Neighbors, which kind of has similar theme about like, you know, like boys like growing up and, you know, dealing with like what it means to be an adult versus like, you know, messing around as a kid or as like a teenager. That was the first like comedy movie that I saw with him that felt like he's actually a really like strong comedic actor and can like, you know, go toe to toe with someone who has more experience and more credibility, quote unquote, in the genre. And I felt like he did that with Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne in Neighbors, and I think he definitely did it again in this movie with John Cena. So that, I mean, it's kind of an obvious thing because it's the connection between the Zac Efron connection, but definitely that was the first movie I thought of.
I think that's a great one to include. And yeah, I mean, Nicholas Stoller's really kind of taking the Judd Apatow ball and rolling with it. Like, you know, obviously they worked together earlier in their career, but now he's doing his own stuff. But
yeah,
I mean, it definitely gets that whole the man-child thing and you know, some real genuine emotion between these characters throughout the movie, even if it is filled with, you know, all kinds of raunchy humor and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think Neighbors is a good one. I'm going to also go with a Zac Efron connection for my first puzzle piece here. I'm going to go with Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates from 2016. This was Zac Efron and Adam Devine as two guys who need wedding dates, and they put an ad online for dates and end up with these two completely insane party girls played by Anna Kendrick and Aubrey Plaza, and very much like these three guys trying to find an actor to stand in for Ricky Stenicki, this made-up character that they have told all their family members about throughout the years. They end up with a complete lunatic in this John Cena character. It's kind of exactly like what's going on with Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, with what happens once they get these girls to end up being their dates, and the girls just completely throw everything off the deep end. And it's a really fun movie. I it's funny, before this podcast, I was looking it up on Letterboxd, and God, do people hate that movie. But I remember it being pretty funny.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like these all three of these movies are the ones that like need some time to marinate and to like I'm excited to watch Ricky Stenicky again because I feel like it would be a lot funnier, and I think I would like enjoy it. I mean, I enjoyed it a lot, but I think like comedies especially, sometimes you just need to like I don't know, I don't really trust reviews for comedy sometimes
I
because humor is
know.
so subjective and like sometimes like you're like I kind of like that this joke is stupid, like that's the char like I was like I don't think the filmmakers are trying to get away with anything,
Exactly. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Comedy is so subjective that it's just like it's impossible for one person to say that it's not good and then to know what you're going to think going into it. So, yeah, it's really difficult with comedies. But let's go to another piece. What do you got next?
So this one's kind of random, but I thought of the Brady Bunch, the show,
Okay.
because of like Jan Brady had this like I don't know how famous he is, but it's like one of those like iconic moments of the Brady Bunch of like George Glass, her fake boyfriend. And then he turns out like there's actually a kid that's with that name, and so he like comes like like she's pretending to have this boyfriend, and then like someone shows up, and like I think I don't really remember the episode that well, but I, like George Glass is always like for me he's like the poster boy of like the fake person that actually can become real, and so I thought of that. Well, just like the concept in general of like here's like someone that's like fake that
Sure.
like there's a like it's like a trope in a lot of like romance movies or like a lot of teen comedies too of like my girlfriend in Canada and stuff like that and like how so that's sort of like that whole concept is what I thought of and like George Glass to me is always like the most famous example. I don't know if you remember in Bridesmaids, but that was also Kristen Wiig's fake boyfriend's name
Right.
when she's trying to like I think she's getting dumped by John Hamm and she's like, oh, I'm dating someone else. And she calls him George Glass or something like that. So like, to me, he'll like George Glass will always be the like, cause I think also like Jan Brady like sees a glass and that's where the name comes from. Like it's one of those things. So that to me is what that came to mind with this sort of this idea of this like fake person that's always just out of sight.
Yeah, that's a great one. And like a movie about a fake character or show or whatever is going to live and die by the name of that character. Like it's got to be just right that you don't believe it, but you also could believe it. And yeah, I think these are both really great examples of that. So yeah, that's a good one. I feel like we got to at least have one Farrelly Brothers movie
For
on the
sure,
list. I don't know if you have one, but I went with Hall Pass, as far as a bunch of, adult man children who are looking to kind of get away from their responsibilities with their wives and their families and, live out their glory days, the whole thing. And it looks so exhausting, honestly. I mean, I'm 43. I don't know how old you are, but the idea of getting away and doing all that stuff, I'm just like, I just want to stay home and watch movies. But Hall Pass seems like a good example of a Farrelly project going in that kind of direction.
I mean, I definitely thought of them as well. I mean, it's like, I was thinking more of like There's Something About Mary, just like the classic one of just like, just like a bunch of guys just kind of causing trouble, with each other and like it there's like a sweetness to it. I haven't seen Hall Pass, so maybe this is it. Maybe this is true for that movie as well, but I feel like There's Something About Mary, like among all the gross out humor and all like the stupid jokes and like the like quote unquote problematic whatever parts of it, like eye roll at that. But like there's like a sweetness to their movies. Like I think that's why like, when they go on to make a movie like Green Book, I know it's just one, but what I feel like when they kind of turn that sensibility towards like a more serious movie, then like I'm not surprised that that kind of can like win you over in some way because like they're so sweet and they're very like they have that like endearing quality to them. So yeah, and like I think There's Something About Mary is at its heart just a very sweet romance, even with all the like packaging. So yeah, I went in that direction with them.
Yeah, no, that's a good one to include too. And yeah, I mean, that is something that they've always been really great about is combining that, the sweet relationships, sweet characters. They always have like really great diverse casts of interesting people. And yeah, they do it right. And I feel like you know, again, you know, to bring up Judd Apatow, because he did, you know, dominate everything for years. Like, I feel like that kind of tipped the edge or tipped the balance at some point in what he was doing. But they always kind of seemed to keep it together. And that's something I always liked about the Farrelly brothers. But since we both did a Farrelly brothers there, I'll go next. And speaking of Judd Apatow, I'm actually going to go to one of his films, Knocked Up. Specifically because of one scene, and that is the wife, Leslie Mann, in Knocked Up, sobbing and saying, "I like Spider-Man," because she wanted to go see Spider-Man with her husband, who didn't think of her. Yeah. And here it's the wife sobbing and saying that she wanted to go to Dollywood. And that's like an obvious, you know, nod, I think. I think that's an homage to that scene completely.
Yeah, that was it was so funny to me, that part, the Dollywood part of it, because, like, I just found it so, like, heartbreaking, just because I'm like, that is so selfish that you would, like, not even think to ask your partner, you know, not to, like, you know, and, like, for something maybe, like, okay, yeah, seeing some, like, stupid band in Atlantic City, yeah, like, I don't know that band, maybe they're really good or popular, but I'm like, that seems like very much like a niche thing, but, like, I'm like, Dollywood, like, who doesn't love Dolly Parton, you know?
Yeah.
It's also like a very, like, feminine coded thing. So,
yeah,
sure. But I don't know, whatever. For my next piece, I thought of the movie Tag. I never saw that with, like, Ed Helms and, Jeremy Renner, Jake Johnson, but these, like, this, like, a group of, like, adult men who are, like, have been playing this game of tag for, like, decades, and it's, like, something that is started as, like, a funny thing when they were kids, and then has, like, blown out of proportion, and is, like, now, like, affecting people's, like, weddings and lives and stuff. And so I thought of that as well, because of, like, the thing of, like, they're this fake person now is, like, coming back to, like, haunt them in the future, and they have to, like, reckon with, like, you know, dealing with the consequences of this, like, huge lie that they've had. Just, like, in tag, like, they had to deal with the fact that, like, they're in this, like, crazy game of tag.
Absolutely. For, like, years. And it's a childhood thing that's completely normal when you're a kid, but you should grow out of it at some point.
Right, like, right.
Yeah, and, that's a good one. Absolutely. I forgot about tag. I think we actually did an episode on piecing it together on tag, like, the first year I was doing this show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
I had to go back and listen to that. That'd be such a throwback.
Yeah, I know. Seriously. I will go with, you know, I'm talking about, you know, Apatow. I'm talking about the Farrellys. I think a movie that kind of blended all of those brands of comedy together really well was Horrible Bosses. Which getting together a lot of very funny people into just a very stupid, but also, like, you know, a joke a minute kind of a situation. I think Horrible Bosses did it really well. And, you know, Jason Bateman is so great in that. And, you know, Charlie Day and all those people that are in that. And, you know, especially combining their family lives and their office lives and just all of the shit that goes down on both sides and how it all throws everything and their whole worlds are basically ending because of the shit they've pulled. I think Horrible Bosses is a good one to go with.
Yeah, that's a really that's a really good movie, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that movie's really, really funny and really, I mean, like, I distinctly remember seeing that in theaters, like, when it came out, and just being like, just like, it was such a wild movie.
It is. It's insane. It's very insane. And I think it blends all that together really well, all those kinds of styles of comedy. So
for sure, for sure.
What do you got next?
Next I got, like, well, I was thinking about, like, the wedding date, like, specifically, but in general, like, again, like, the concept of, like, hiring someone to pretend to be someone else, like, at a family function or, like, at, like, an important party and, like, kind of that stress about, like, can they, like, pull it off or not.
Sure.
And, you know, in the wedding date, it's, like, Deborah Messing hires, I believe, like, an escort to pretend to be her date to her sister's wedding. And in this movie, it's Ricky Stenicki being hired, or, like, the actor, Iran, to play Ricky at, like, at the Brie. And so just, like, and even, like, in the wedding, like, I feel like in these types of movies, it's always, like, the guy that gets hired is always, like, really good.
Yeah.
And, like, is very charming, and just, like, everyone, like, kind of flocks to them, but there's always that one person, like, the mother-in-law, who's, like, very doubtful and suspicious. So having to like that, like I think that that scene is one of my favorite parts of the movie, especially like kind of seeing like how much John Cena's character like really like did his homework and like do his homework and like really like commit to the bit.
Sure.
So I thought that was really, and like I think like in movies like that, it's always fun when there's that moment of like, they're like, oh my god, we're gonna get caught, and that person like completely like surprises everyone and just like nails the part.
Yeah, it's a trope that you like, you, it is really good at balancing, you want them to get caught, but you also want them to succeed at the same time, because right, right. you know, it is the heroes of the situation. But I remember like a year ago, we always do our trailer episodes of Piecing It Together at the beginning of each month, and I remember there was like three movies in one month. It was like a June or July, something like that, that all had the fake boyfriend or girlfriend at a party. Yeah. Like it is a popular thing. And so it makes sense that it would be ripe for a, you know, R-rated, you know, ridiculous over the top version. So
did you ever once consider that somehow like he, like Ricky, like had manifested from their imagination? Because like there's a great brief part, like when he's like, when they're in like the storage closet at the office, and he's like showing him the like driver's license, and he's like, I am Ricky, don't call me by my, you know. And I was like, wait, is this like gonna turn into some like mystical, like magical realism, like kind of like supernatural comedy?
Where, I love like, that.
And I was like kind of hoping, I was, I think that like deflated the last act for me a little, because I was like, wait, I would love that they just like, he just manifested himself and met them like when they needed him most.
That's amazing. Know? That's amazing. Because when we meet him, he is just so like down and out. Like, you know, we meet him and he's drinking beer off of the floor, and like, it's just, and then he creates this entire life for himself, which is just simply no way that any of that would work out. And it just does. So you could see how it would lean into magical realism. But I love that. That would have been a fun way for this whole thing to go though. That's great. So you know what, I was actually just talking about a Jason Bateman movie with horrible bosses, but the show Ozark is mentioned in this movie. He says he feels like he's Jason Bateman in every episode of Ozark, and really it's a great pull, because like the way that he's just constantly trying to get his head above water, because every single thing leads to another issue. And anytime they think that they're going to get out of this whole Ricky Sinicky situation, like three more things pop up that they got to deal with. And it really does feel like an episode of Ozark. So I wanted to include it on the list here. And, you know, that is a show that like, it keeps that tension going nonstop through the entire series, and it just never feels like they're ever going to get out of that situation. And Ricky Sinicky, I think, does a pretty good job of like, you know, it's obviously a comedy first, but it does feel like there's no way they're ever going to, you know, get to a conclusion of any of this, but they eventually wrap it up. They get there.
Yeah. that's a really good. I also felt the Ozark reference was so funny, because I feel like no one watched Ozark until like season three. Yeah. And then all of a sudden everyone was watching Ozarks.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this show? And then like I tried to watch it, but I could not. It was so blue. I was like, this is not the vibe. kind of, you know, like it's funny, like I feel like John Cena has like really become such an like a really gifted comedic actor. And like, I saw this like just days after he was at the Oscars, you know, like when he did this whole bit where he was like naked presenting the award, which is very just like, you just like can't really imagine like someone else of his like status doing something like that. Like, that's not a joke that The Rock would ever make, especially now, maybe like 5 years ago or 10 years ago. But like, so I just like thought of actually about like Peacemaker specifically, and like his work is in that show and in the Suicide Squad, where like, especially in Peacemaker, where he, even though he's like the hero of the show, he's a main character, but he allows himself to be the butt of the joke so much.
Sure.
And he has like no vanity. He's very just like, so he seems to be like the most like chill, up for anything kind of guy. And I like that about him, because for someone that looks like he could probably like kill me with just like one hand, it's like really refreshing to see that he's just like so chill. And like, yeah. I don't know him personally. Maybe he's not like this in real life, but like, I'm sure that he is, because like he keeps getting work in these kinds of roles and like people seem to really like working with him. So
yeah.
But I feel like Peacemaker especially feels like a good like superhero version of this kind of character that's just like fully committed, but in a way that is both believable and endearing and also kind of ridiculous.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, he definitely seems like he's just having a blast with his career at this moment in time. And yeah, I actually watched this movie because of that Oscars stunt. Like, it was just so ridiculous. Yeah. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to watch Ricky Stenicki. And, you know, now we're here. But it's funny. Yeah. I'm thinking about it right now. The last time you were on the show was for Knock at the Cabin with another wrestler turned actor. So who knows, maybe we'll get you for The Rock one of these days. So we gotta,
hey, look, if he you know, decides to fulfill his promise of, because I think The Rock is a really charming and good actor as well. Yeah, I just think yeah. that he got in his own, like he leaned into his own meme in a sense, which I feel like John Cena is. I think John Cena and Dave Bautista are in danger of doing that if they go too hard in what they're doing, but I think for now, like, they're still pretty grounded.
Yeah.
But look, if The Rock does something really incredible, I'll be there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I will go, speaking of Cena, when we first meet him, he is performing X-rated parody songs of popular music, and it definitely feels like a play out of the Dan Band's playbook as made famous in Old School, the Todd Phillips comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Todd Phillips is another name, along with some of the others we've been mentioning, that goes right along with the Farrellys and that whole brand of just, you know, man children idiot comedies, but that also have a lot of heart behind them as well. But especially because of John Cena's musical performance there, which is fucking hilarious. It's so good. And maybe the best part of the movie, honestly, but it's so stupid.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to think of, like, that's such a fun trope of just, like, being totally, like, you know, inappropriate with like these songs and just being like really explicit to like an audience that isn't on that same vibe, and I just couldn't think of the right example, but I think I was thinking of Old School too.
Yeah, in my 20s I had a comedy rap group and we were very, very dirty. It was not unlike that, but we don't talk about that on this podcast. So anyway, what do you have for your next piece?
You know, I was really interested in William H. Macy's character just because I feel like I love it when, like, really serious actors do comedy like this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, when someone can just, like, really just, like, go for broke and just, like, do something really crazy and just, like, again, like, kind of make themselves about the joke a little. But it's especially funny when it's, like, a really serious character actor. And I thought of Tilda Swinton in, I think it's Trainwreck. Also with John Cena, where she's like totally unrecognizable. Like if you look at her, I mean, this was back in 2015. So like Tilda Swinton, like wasn't, I mean, she's obviously very popular, but like she wasn't like a global, like, like I didn't really know of her range in terms of like doing comedy at this point in 2015. So like for her to like be in, like, she plays like a magazine editor, like very Devil Wears Prada, but just like the most like ridiculous look, almost unrecognizable in the way that they style her hair and like do her makeup. Like I knew her at the time as like you know, George Clooney's Michael Clayton. I knew her in like doing like I'm Love, you know, mm-hmm. the Italian movie and stuff like that. Like I knew as a very serious actress. Like we did talk about Kevin, of course. I never really saw her do comedy like this, and I never saw her like really disappear into a character. So again, like that same kind of like vibe of like really serious actors and just like being totally stupid and silly. Like I love the bit of his what do they call, like the jerk off?
Yeah, is it jerk off hands, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I thought that was such a funny gag because like when you watch like those TED Talks and stuff, like a lot of times, like people the way they like do their hands is so stupid looking, and it's like sometimes like with a really bad tech talk person, like I can't unsee it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, once you can catch their like hand movements or the way they like their body language, you can't unsee it. And I'm sure I do the same thing when I'm presenting stuff at work or whatever. But I thought that was really funny, and it reminded me of like Tilda Swinton doing like Trainwreck, or like other actors just like being like, let's just get someone who's like a really serious actor to like be really funny in a movie, and it's always effective for me.
Absolutely. I forgot that she was in that. I forgot John Cena was in that. I haven't seen it since it came out, but yeah, no, good one there. And I mean, this is a bit of a tangent, but I think you also loved Problemista, which I'm actually recording an episode on. Tilda Swinton is so funny in that.
She's nuts. And like, that's another one where like, you're just like, wow. I mean, I know people love when like comedic actors do serious movies, but I love it when serious actors do comedic movies. Oh, I feel like the way they commit to it is just so different, because like they really just like really dig their heels in, and like really like Ryan Gosling and Margot Robbie both in Barbie, just like the way they both just like totally commit to the roles, no matter how like ludicrous you know they're being. I mean, her a little less so, but like, I mean, she does some like pretty funny stuff in that movie too, but or like her and like Harley Quinn, or as Harley Quinn, like it's just so fun to see them really commit. Or like Leonardo DiCaprio in The Wolf of Wall Street, like it's just really like they really bring their all to this like stupid stuff, and it's really funny.
Yeah, I have to assume you get the script and you see what you're going to be doing, and it must just be like, hell yeah, let's play.
Exactly.
You know, let's have some fun. So,
right.
Well, I'll go with one last puzzle piece here, and this is just a little one, almost like a little bonus or whatever, but I just recently, for the first time, watched Jonathan Glazer's Sexy Beast, which is fantastic. We're doing an episode of Awesome Movie Year on it, and Ben Kingsley's character, Don, orders calamari at the bar, and I watched this the same day as I watched Ricky Stenicki, and I was like, wait a minute, this has to be intentional, that Ricky Stenicki's character orders calamari by itself at a bar like over and over again, and that has to be a callback to that. I think it's a character trait of just this insanely badass, but also we do get to see him being vulnerable at times when he's alone, character that Ben Kingsley plays, and it's a great little character bit, one of those just like weird little like quirks that you give a character, and it really makes an impression.
Totally. I mean, I love stuff like that, you know, that just like really is like so specific, especially for comedies, because to me, like, there's nothing funnier than like really specific character stuff in a comedy. You know, like, I'm just really impressed with John Cena's performance in this movie. Like, he's so sweet, and he's so, but like also a little crazy and scary, but also very sweet, you know. Like, I really felt bad for him in the beginning of when they were like really like when they were like rejecting him and stuff. I was like, man, this guy just wants to be friends.
Absolutely.
I would never deny having a drink with John Cena, honestly.
There you go. Why would you? He's a fun guy, so. But do you have any other pieces you wanted to bring up?
No, I mean, I you had mentioned like sort of this like this boom of, you know, like R-rated sex comedies, like No Hard Feelings. So that was something that I really thought about as well. Just like, yeah, like we are in a resurgence for this. And I think, and like Anyone But You, I think is another one that really kind of plays the same vibe of like, yeah, let's just like, people want to laugh and people want to like laugh together. And like, I really wish this movie had been in theaters. I think it would do, I don't know if it would be like a huge, huge hit, but I think it would be, I think would definitely get a lot of notice, and I think that like it would do well enough that like when it does come to streaming, it'd become really popular.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a big component of, you know, what's missing from streaming, you know, direct to streaming movies. But I completely agree. Let's go down the list of puzzle pieces. We'll get into some closing thoughts here. We talked about Neighbors, Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, The Brady Bunch, Hall Pass, There's Something About Mary, Knocked Up, Tag, Horrible Bosses, Wedding Date, Ozark, Peacemaker, The Suicide Squad, Old School, Trainwreck, Sexy Beast, No Hard Feelings, and Anyone But You. You know, this movie, it's just got so many like ridiculous lines. I mean, we didn't really talk any about, we talked about Zac Efron, but his two buddies, Jermaine Fowler and Andrew Santino, they're both so funny. And Zac Efron really is like the straight man in this. He's not particularly that funny. Yeah. Those two are great. They are so hilarious, especially Andrew Santino. I would say both of them, really. They both have a million funny moments in this. You know, with a character as big as John Cena, it's hard to have moments, and they really do stretch it around. And even some of the, you know, you mentioned William H. Macy, you know, the women who are, of course, get the least to do in a movie like this, but they still do have some funny moments in it. And some of the other like side supporting characters, there's just a lot of funny stuff going on around the whole cast.
I do want to give a shout out to the actress who played the mother-in-law, Leona. I'm just trying to find her name. I thought she was really funny.
She knew from the get-go that he was bullshit,
I just want to give her a shout out if I can find her name. But yeah, I felt like, I agree that, like, I think the, like, there was definitely something missing with the character of Erin, played by Lex Scott Davis, who is Zac Efron's girlfriend or partner. I felt like they were trying to do something, and I was like, I don't know if it got cut or if they just like didn't really put in it, or they just didn't like have enough material. But I'm like, there's a lot to, like, she's has a lot to do in the movie. Like, she figures it out, but off screen.
Yeah,
that was a little disappointing. And I agree that, like, you know, a movie like this, I mean, I appreciated the queer representation, you know, especially how it was like very unremarked upon. It was just like a part of it.
Sure.
That was always nice. Although it did feel a lot of that stuff felt kind of tacked on as well. But you know, that's fine. I think this movie was really well done. And I mean, I think I would only appreciate it more and more.
Yeah.
I think I definitely would want to rewatch it for sure.
Yeah, no, I would love to watch this with people. Like, you know, we've been saying it could have done well in the theaters. I'd love to watch it at least with some friends or something.
Heather Mitchell is her name.
Okay, right on.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to the actress because she was really funny, and I don't think I'd seen her in anything before, or at least don't recall.
She seems like one of those like random Farrelly Brothers characters, so that makes sense.
I feel like with this like new trend of re-releasing movies, maybe Amazon will like strike some deal. I mean, I know they've like released movies in theaters in the past, so I think this movie would definitely find a good crowd.
Yeah, I agree completely. Well, I think that does it for Ricky Stanicky. Manish, is there another movie you watched recently you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
As you mentioned that I had seen Problemista, and that was going to be the movie that I mentioned at the end of the show, because I think the movie is really funny. It's stressful. It kind of has that like Uncut Gems, you know, like constant anxiety thing, just because it is about like a very unsolvable problem within our American culture. But really good movie, very funny, you know, starring the aforementioned Tilda Swinton, and written, directed, and starring Julio Torres, who's just like a really absurdist, out there, you know, comedian. This movie is very well directed. It has a lot of inventive visuals, and it's very just it does a really good job of like balancing sort of like this like real world problems with a very like absurdist, surrealist vibe and aesthetic. And produced by Emma Stone.
Yeah,
and I bring that up just because like it definitely has her like sense of humor to it as well. Like they're really good friends off screen, I think. So if you kind of like her kind of brand of just like being very absurdist and just like very jokey and very just like out there kind of comedic character work, you'll definitely like Problemista. It's quite a debut for this really exciting filmmaker. I know he's like famous for doing like Los Espookies on HBO, and has like a lot of really funny like SNL sketches, and I believe he's the one who wrote Emma Stone's The Actress, if I recall correctly, which is
really?
Where she plays like the like cheated on woman in a gay porn in the SNL sketch, which is like, really funny and just like very specific. I mentioned I like very specific character stuff and very specific jokes and comedy, just because like the more specific it is, like the more serious like people take it. And I think being serious is like funnier than like winking at the camera.
Yeah.
So definitely watch Problemista. I think it's slowly expanding to more and more theaters each week. So yeah, definitely recommend it. I think Julio Torres is definitely someone to look out for as a filmmaker and comedic voice.
Totally agree. Loved that movie. And yeah, we will actually be recording an episode on it, so keep an eye out for that. But Manish, where can people find you and your podcast?
You can find me on Twitter at Vertigaea314. Also, my podcast, It Pod to View, is on Twitter and also on all of the major podcast platforms. Definitely look out for that. I just recorded my 100th episode on the movie Gone Girl, so I definitely want to give that a shout out because it was a great movie, great podcast, and really exciting to reach that milestone.
That's awesome.
After 5 years of doing the podcast. Taking a bit of a hiatus for now, but definitely will be back in some form or another next month or soon after that. So
yeah, right on.
Look out for that.
Congratulations on 100 episodes. That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And thank you so much for coming back to the show, and hopefully we'll get you back again sometime.
Yes, and definitely want to have you back on the podcast when it's back.
Definitely. I am down. All right. So I hope you enjoyed that conversation about Ricky Stenicki. Thanks to Manish for joining me on that one. And thank you to all of you for listening. If you're enjoying Piecing It Together, of course, make sure you're subscribed. Also, send in your puzzle pieces. I love hearing from you all. If you have some puzzle pieces that you thought of that we didn't mention on the show, I would love to hear them, and I will read them on the next trailer episode. So get those in. You can contact me on social media at PiecingPod. There's a contact form on the website, PiecingPod.com. You could also join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, and you'll be able to mention them in there. Also, I told you to subscribe wherever you're listening, but you can go to Good Pods and actually comment right on the episode. Tell us your puzzle pieces right there. I like Good Pods. That's where I listen to podcasts. You can also check out our Patreon I told you about at the top of the show. And otherwise, thank you so much for being out there and listening. We've got a lot more Piecing It Together on the way. Lots of episodes coming your way. So they will be coming every Monday and Friday. It's supposed to be a once a week show, but somehow I've just been recording so many that it's going to be 2 a week for a while, I'm sure. But yeah, thanks for listening. Let's end this with a piece of music like I always do. And I'm having trouble deciding what to play to close this one out because a comedy, something about imaginary friends. I don't really have something. I was thinking about going to my comedy rap career that I mentioned briefly, but I don't want to do that. Instead, what I'm going to do is give you guys a little preview of the upcoming comedy album, The Pup Pups Variety Snaps. Why not? Let's do that. That's a good way to close this episode out. I'm going to play a song that's actually sung by our cat Trudy. It's called Instagram Model. It is completely ridiculous, as is the rest of the album, which will be out on National Pet Day, Thursday, April 11th. There will be a special commentary track, Piecing It Together, coming out the day after that on the album. But I hope you like this song, Instagram Model, and we'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
I'm an Instagram model and everybody loves my pictures. I'm a TikTok star and everybody thinks that I'm so funny. Ha 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 ha! Honey, what are you doing clicking on my sister's picture? She is stupid and not cute as me, mister. I'm an Instagram model and everybody thinks I'm pretty. So pretty, 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 pretty. I look pretty every single day. I'm so pretty, 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 pretty. Like my mommy and my daddy say. Everybody loves me and they think I'm such a cutie. My eyes, my face, my tail, my waist, my booty. My mommy loves me, she says I'm a good singer. I'm daddy's favorite, I got him wrapped around my finger. I'm an Instagram model and everybody thinks I'm pretty. I'm so pretty, 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 pretty. Everybody wants to know my name. I'm so pretty, 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 pretty. And I'm definitely not insane. Pretty, 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 I'm just pretty.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.